The book of Psalms in chapter 14 tonight. Psalms chapter 14. Another psalm of David as he laments the moral foolishness and corruption of the human race and longs for the kingdom of God. He said in verse 1, as we come here, this chapter dealing with the depravity of man. The whole chapter, as one person said, is a creed of the fool. He said in verse 1, he said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and cannot, and call not rather upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shunned the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Father, we ask tonight your blessings upon the reading of thy word. And Father, as we come here tonight to look at the scriptures and to pray and seek thy will, God, we pray that your blessings would be upon each soul that's assembled together here. Those that can't be with us, God, we pray that you be with them, your presence be with them tonight. And Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us together. And Lord, we just ask that as we come here and kneel together tonight to seek thee, God, that you'd be attentive to each prayer, and Lord, that you would lead and direct us in truth and righteousness. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There is another psalm in the book of Psalms is almost identical to this psalm, and that's chapter 53. We're not going to turn there, but Psalms 53 is almost identical to Psalms chapter 14. Now again, I believe this is a psalm of David, and David laments the moral corruption of the whole human race, and as we scan down through this chapter, and still yet, as we end this chapter, we find that David longs for the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice with me as we come here to verse 1. I'm going to use the word atheist. I don't really believe there is a real, true, genuine atheist, but we'll use that word anyway. But he begins off in this verse, and he says this. He said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, I don't know any other way to put that, but the person that denies God, according to the Bible, he is called a fool. Now, the fool here is a term in Scripture signifying a wicked man or a wicked heart. A fool here in this passage denotes moral perversity. It is not dealing with weakness of intellect. It's not dealing with smartness necessarily or intelligence. Not dealing with that. But it's dealing with moral perversity. It's dealing with a man who has denied God. And the Bible says here that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Now the Bible has a lot to say about fools. In Proverbs chapter 26 verse 4 and 5, there's two verses there together. And one verse tells you not to answer a fool, and the other verse says to answer a fool. So the Bible tells us that there is a time that we need to answer a fool and shut him up. Then there's also a time that you don't want to answer a fool because you'll look like a fool yourself if you're not careful, and there's no need in even dealing with it. But he says here in verse 1, as he begins this chapter, by the way, I'm going to give you some references you can write down as we go down through these verses. And as he said, Romans 1, by the way, is a good chapter, beginning in verse 18, dealing with those who deny God and deny the creation of God. But he says here, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Then he goes on in verse 1, he says, "They are corrupt." So the man that says that there is no God, he denies the existence of God. He denies the creation of God. He has a corrupt heart. He says, they have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. And the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Then he said in verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Apostle Paul quotes this psalm in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As a matter of fact, there's several verses in Romans chapter 3 that he describes the wicked. He describes those who reject God and deny the existence of God Almighty. I want you to hold on here, and I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. Or first of all, go to Psalms 39 and notice here. And notice the problems in the heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he may have intellect, but he has been far removed from God and His Word. But notice when, as we come to Psalms 39, there was a, when we were dealing with the issue in Montgomery a few years ago and the Ten Commandments rally and things of that nature, there's a, not only those who said they were atheists that were involved there, Larry Darby is one of them, he's running for office this coming year, and but there was a website. And I don't remember the exact name of it, but it was an atheist website. And it had three questions and that was on that website. And somebody had printed this off and give it to me. And I said, I can give you the answer for each one. The first question was, what is an atheist? Well, the Bible says he's a fool. Amen. And the second question was, what do they believe? Well, the answer to that is one word, nothing. And the third question that was on that website is, where can you find out more about atheists? And I said, well, hell. You can use one word to answer all three of those questions. In hell, you can find out about the atheists. And by the way, let me say this, and I don't know that we'll turn and read these verses, but do you realize, now I'll use the word atheist because we understand what we're saying, but do you realize they may be those who claim to be atheists? But do you realize that there are no atheists in hell? James 2:19 says that not only do the devils believe, the Bible says they fear, they tremble. And not only that, as you read through the New Testament, you will find that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, there's a woman there that is possessed by a devil. And that devil recognized not only Jesus Christ, but that devil recognized the apostles. In other words, the devil, the devils or devil, they not only know the Lord, but they know who belongs to the Lord. Then there was a man that was possessed by devils in Mark chapter 5. And you know, he hung out among the dead and, you know, he hung around the tombs. And you see those that are extreme into Satanism today, love to wear the colors and play the part, and especially with the younger generation. But as you read down through there, you find that the devil, or the devils there inside of that man, knew the Lord Jesus Christ, knew that He was the Son of God, but they also knew that one day they would be tormented. They even asked, why hast thou come to torment us before our time? So what am I saying? There is no atheist in hell. They can claim to be atheists now. They can run their mouth, you know, but there is no atheist in hell. So that tells me that the devils, they believe in God. They believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They also believe in the judgment that is to come. And they believe in the torment, that is the lake of fire. They believe in that. So without any doubt, there is no true atheist, in hell. And there are those who run around today and they run off their mouth about a lot of things and still yet they don't know what they're saying. You throw one out of an airplane and see if he won't cry out to God before he hits the ground. Amen. Now notice with me in Psalms 39, we find here that in verse 5, it says here, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Now look at the last statement. He said, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So we find every man at his very best state is altogether vanity. This is why that I said This Psalm 14 is dealing with the depravity of man, the corruption of the whole human race. Notice in Genesis, in chapter 6, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, this is the days right before the flood. I doubt if this is true, but it said there's a tombstone that said, "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and nowhere to go." And I thought that was kind of interesting. And notice with me as we come to Genesis chapter 6. Have you ever been asked if you believe in the Big Bang Theory? You just might as well tell them yes, because one day there's going to be a bang. God is going to destroy this world, amen? Now he says here in Genesis chapter 6, we find here, notice with me as we come down to verse 11 and verse 12. We find this, well, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts in his heart was only evil continually." This is the first time that the word heart is mentioned in the Bible. And he says here in verse 11 and 12, he said, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh hath corrupted his way upon the earth." This is the reason that God destroyed the earth with a flood, is because of the condition, the contamination of society, because of sin and rebellion against God. This is why that God will destroy the world again one day with fire and with judgment, is because of the same thing. Now back with me in Psalms, here in the book of Psalms. Again, I gave you the passage in chapter 10, verse 4, to go with verse 1, and also Romans chapter 18. It tells us the progression that man, what happened to man as he went away from God. The source of atheism is man's heart. The folly is bound up in his heart. This is why that Jeremiah chapter 17 makes this statement. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Then he said in the next verse that God searches the heart. Well, notice with me back in Psalms 14 and in verse 1. It says here in verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now look at it. He begins describing them. He says that first of all, they are corrupt. He said they have done abominable works. You write down Titus 1:16 beside that. And he goes on to say, he said, "There is none that doeth good." Then we come to verse 2. And he said, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Psalms 33, verse 3, you can jot down beside that. But I want you to notice with me, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I want to read one verse out of this chapter to go along with this. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we're going to read in verse 2. I was reading an article here the other day, it's here in our library, written by another man, and he was asking some questions, and there's several, I just wrote down a couple of them that he asked, but he's talking about if there's a creation, obviously there must be a creator. And he said, if there's a painting, there has to be a painter. But he said this, he said, if you can believe in things, if you cannot believe, rather, in things that you haven't seen, he said, then how do you know you've got a brain? They're always telling me you can't see, believe in something you have not seen. Well, and he goes on and elaborates on this, but how do you know you've got a brain if you can't believe in things you haven't seen? He says, explain how a tree growing on a steep hillside grows upward and not at a right angle to the cliff. Now he goes along, just one question after another, after another, after another. And these are questions that cannot be answered by the atheist. Notice with me in 2 Chronicles, in reference to God looking down and looking for men that would seek Him. It says here in verse 2, chapter 15, "And he went out to meet Asa," this is the prophet, "and he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, The Lord is with you while ye be with Him, and if you seek Him, He will be found of you, but if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Talking to the nation of Israel at this time. You can read the rest of the chapter, and you can see that they made a covenant with God. You'll see the reforms under Asa in this chapter. But notice back in Psalms, chapter 14 and verse 2, he said, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men." And he says here, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Then in verse 3, again, this is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, dealing with the total depravity of the human race. He says here in verse 3, "They are all gone astray. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Then he said in verse 4, he said, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord." Now he's talking about here the workers of iniquity. He said they have no knowledge. Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 4. In the book of Jeremiah in chapter 4, and you've taken notes tonight, again, Titus 1:16. But in Jeremiah chapter 4, the chapter is dealing with judgment. And you'll see the judgment following if you continue to read down in verses 23 through verse 31. Judgment upon this nation. But notice with me, I'm going to take one verse out of this chapter. It's going to be in verse 22. He says here, he said, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me." That's the questions or the comments that's being made in Psalms chapter 14 about knowing the Lord, seeking the Lord. He says here in verse 22, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. Notice they are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." They have not the knowledge of God. They had forsaken His Word, but they were wise to do evil. Well, back in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 4, he says this. He says, "And all have the workers of iniquity no knowledge." Well, the answer is they have no knowledge toward God. Romans 1 again describes the progression of this. And he says here in this verse, also in verse 4, he says, "Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the name of the Lord." Let me give you a few verses to write down. "They eat up my people." In other words, they're workers of iniquity, according to this verse. They have no understanding of God. They're not seeking God. And so they do harm. They try to do harm to God's people. They try to destroy God's people. John 15, verses 19 through 23, they crucified the Lord of glory. But Jesus told His disciples, He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Why? Because the whole world lieth in wickedness, according to 1 John 5 and in verse 19. And so we find that as we come to these verses, we see the depravity of man. We see in these verses the fools in comparison with the saints of God. And we see that the fools, that not only do they hate God, not only are they workers of iniquity, but we find that they hate you because you represent God upon this earth. So don't feel bad the next time somebody tells you they don't like you. Don't lose any sleep over that, because this has been from the it's been there from the beginning, you see. And you'll notice with me that as we move, and by the way, John 15, I gave you that passage, Psalms 27, verses 2 and verse 5, you see the same thing there. And in Psalms 22:13. But notice with me as we move on, he not only says in verse 4, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge," asking a question, "who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the name of the Lord." See, God is not in their mind. They don't think about God and so forth. And then he says in verse 5, he says, "There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous." had to think about this verse for a while. But I want you to look at this, the foolish fear of those who have no fear of God. Still yet there's a fear there. They say they have no fear of God, no knowledge of God, and still yet there's a certain element of fear among them. Now, what is this fear? Well, I want you to turn, I'm glad you asked, turn to 1 Samuel 18 and notice with me here, and I'll show you this. I'm going to use Saul and David for an example. Even though they say they have no fear of God, there's still an element of fear among them. And if you'll watch and pay attention to those around you and the people you minister to and the people you're involved with, you will see this as a reality. And I'm going to read verse 5 again before I read in 1 Samuel. He's talking about the wicked, these who do works of iniquity, these who eat up God's people. He said, "There will they in great fear, for God is in a generation of the righteous." In other words, God is among His people. God is present among His people. Okay? And so, there is a fear that is in the lost, even though they hate you. There is a certain element of fear there. And I want you to notice what it is. And it's because of the presence of the Lord. I'm going to be reading in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And I'm going to begin reading from verse 9. Now look at this. Now here's what I'm going to be reading. Saul hated David. Okay? Yet he was afraid of David. Now you understand what I'm talking about? Now even when David was a young boy, a teenage boy, here's a grown man. He hated David. He tried to kill David. And still yet he was afraid of David. Now who can figure that out? Because he knew that God's presence with David was with David. Now look at this, he knew the Lord was with him. Verse 9. "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward, because of the things that were being said, wonderful things that were being said about David by the people of Israel." Verse 10. "And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil a spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, and as at the other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, 'I will smite David, even to the wall with it,' and David avoided out of his presence twice." And Saul, now look at this, "and Saul was afraid of David." Why? What's the next few words? Somebody tell me. Some of you that are still awake. "Because the Lord was with him." Now think of that. That's what Psalms 14:5 is basically saying. As we read on in 1 Samuel, he said in verse 13, "Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people, and David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him." Figure that out. Here's somebody that's stronger than him, has the power to do him in. Here's someone that hates David. He's bigger than David and all of this, and still yet there is a fear of David simply because of the presence of God Almighty. Simply because of God's presence. This reality is still true in the world in which you and I live. Now notice back with me in Psalms. There are those that will hate you. There are those that wish you were out of their way. There are those that if they could do you harm, they would do it if they knew they could get by with it. And still yet, they have a fear, not necessarily of you, but of the presence of God Almighty. You say, where is that presence? It's the Holy Spirit that abides within. They know who God's people are. Now look at this, he said in verse 5. He said, "And there were they in great fear." He said, "For God is in the generation of the righteous." And He is He not? See, we can always rejoice in that. And then he says, notice with me in verse 6, he said, "Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge." There are those that have hated the poor. They've tried to take advantage of the poor. They've tried to destroy the poor over the years, and still yet we find that God is the refuge of the poor. God's presence is with them. Then I want you to notice with me, and by the way, in verse 6, we see the wisdom of making God our refuge in this passage. And then we find that in verse 7, I want you to notice with me as we come to verse 7, we see the issue of hope. We see the difference between the fool and the people of God. But notice with me in verse 7 that he says this. He says, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion." He said, "When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of His people, then Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad." The Lord coming from Zion, the blessings from Zion. You see, and if you bring that over into the time in which you and I live and let the Zion represent the church, God's blessings is to the world today through His church. That is, through His people. That's where the blessings of God come to the world today, if they will receive it and if they'll believe it. So we find a psalm of David. We find a psalm dealing with the depravity of man, and still yet compares the fool and the saint here in these verses, and ends with a note of hope here. "All that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of His people, and Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." And no matter how dark it is or how it looks, we see the hope over and over and over in the Scriptures. And that's one of the reasons that we gather here on Wednesday night and kneel before the Lord God, because we believe that God is our refuge. Amen? We believe that. You know what I believe of this church? I believe we've been through some ups and downs over the years, and especially years ago. And I believe it was based, I believe the very preservation of this small church has been through people on their knees on the Wednesday night services praying and seeking the Lord. I really believe that. Let's take up our prayer request this evening.